You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
The Doxa documentary film series kicks off November 30th in Vancouver with You Don't Like the Truth, 4 days inside Guantanamo. The film is based on security camera footage from the Guantanamo Bay prison. Drawing on 7 hours of video footage recently declassified by the Canadian courts, the film focuses on the encounter between a team of Canadian intelligence agents and child detainee Omer Khadr. Luke Côté and Patricia Enriquez were the filmmakers. Luke Côté is joining me on the phone this morning from the Netherlands, where he's attending the International Documentary Film Festival in Amsterdam. Hello, Luke.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good, thank you. Why did you decide to make the film?
Well, when you make a film, you know, you have to have something that, you know, tease you or excites you. And I know in this case, it's not just excitement, it's not just the footage, but I remember very well in July 2008, when the Supreme Court released those 7 hours from this interrogation, you know, they released the lawyers when they got it, Omer Khadr's lawyer, when they got the material, they put 10 minutes on the web. And my friend Patricio Enriquez was watching it on the web, and I was watching it on the news. And then, you know, he called me and he said, "Have you seen this?" And I said, "Absolutely." And both of us felt totally outraged by what we were seeing. And right at that moment, we decided that we need to do something. We need to do something with this material and with this issue. And that day, we decided that we would make this film. We first started to do something for the web, you know, like a little 10-minute that we put on the web, because there was an urgency, there was election, and coming up in the fall, and we wanted to say something, you know, as part of this election. And then we did the web. After the web, we decided that we saw the wealth of material that we had, and we decided to do a feature-length documentary with the material.
What kind of images will people see when they watch the film?
The images, you know, the interrogation, we have to say, it's a terrible quality, you know, a technical quality. The visual is like poor VHS and the sound is not good. But at the same time, you have to realize this is the only footage from inside Guantanamo. It was the first time in 2008 and it's still in 2010. The only material that we have from inside Guantanamo, which is unbelievable. And of course, this material was not supposed to be shown anywhere. You know, and it's like TV, reality TV in a way, but in a sense, this one is real because the people, the protagonists in it are just there and very natural and they don't know they're being filmed. Omer doesn't know. And the Secret Service never thought that this would be available to the public. So this really is the essence of the film, is the backbone of the film. And at the same time, what we did is we went around the world to interview people who knew Omer Khadr, you know, ex-prisoners, or even there is a torturer who was in Bagram who knew Omer Khadr, and all these people are contributing to the film or complementing what you're seeing as part of the interrogation that took place in February 2003.
Now, you interviewed Damien Corsetti. He's a U.S. interrogator. What did he say about his questioning of Khadr?
Well, he said one thing. He said several things, I'm sorry. But one of the things that he said, Damien Corsetti, was, listen, from the beginning, I could see that he was just a kid. And according to other prisoners who were there, you know, and who knew Corsetti and who were there with Omer Khadr, they say that, you know, he respected the fact that he recognized the fact that he was a kid. He was 15 years old, and, you know, you can't treat a 15-year-old like the other prisoners.
Watching all the footage of Omer Khadr being interrogated, what was the most shocking moment for you in the film in watching that footage?
Well, for sure, one of the, you know, there are so many, but, you, of course, one of the most shocking is, you know, when you realize, you know, after this, it's the second day, because this was all done over 4 days of interrogation. And the second day, you know, Omar really breaks down, because he realizes that these guys from CSIS, from the Secret Service, they're not there to help him out. They're really there to gather more information to share with the Americans. And at one point, you know, he's trying to tell them, you know, I've been tortured so badly. Can you protect me? Can you do something? I've been injured so badly, you know. I can't see in one eye. I have a problem with my leg. And these agents, they're just laughing at him. And, you know, and so he breaks down and he starts crying. And when he starts crying, you know, they leave the room and they say, okay, relax, relax. And they leave the room. And for 16 minutes, he's there crying and asking for his mom. And you can hear, you know, sobbing and crying. And in Arabic, he says, Yaumi, Yaumi, mother, mother, please do something. And it's so pathetic. It's so sad. It's just like, and it breaks your heart.
Why did you call the film You Don't Like the Truth?
Oh, you know, I think there are several reasons for this, at least two. First of all, it's a quote from Omar Khadr. The fourth day that he's been interrogated by these guys, the fourth day, is at one point, you know, he regained control of the interrogation with the guy from CSIS. And they're talking, and then the guy from CSIS is telling him, he says, please, please, tell me something that I can bring back to my government. Tell me something, tell me the truth. And Omar is telling him, he says, listen, I told you the truth, but you don't like the truth. And that's why, that's how the title came upon. And the thing is, you know, when he says this, it's obvious when you watch the film, when you watch the interrogation. The guy is not interested in what Omar has to say. He has his preconceived idea of what he wants to hear, and he's pushing Omar to say these things. And Omar says, this is not what I have to say, you know, and that's how, you know, the title comes across. And then the other reason is we like the title because I think a lot of Canadians don't like the truth about Omar Khadr. You know, the survey about him, and we did a lot of radio interviews, a lot of radio where people call in, and a lot of people, they just want him to rot in jail, you know, to rot in Guantanamo. But I think a lot of people don't really know the real story of Omar Khadr. And that's why I want to invite them to come and see the film, because I think they're going to see a very different story, and a story that is not, you know, only share with other ex-detainees that would say, oh, a bunch of terrorists. But you see Americans in this film also, and American psychiatrists. You see American militaries. The torturer also, Damien Corsetti, who talk about Omar Khadr and what happened. And I think it can give you a different perspective. So I say to people, just open your mind, open your heart, and try to see what is the story here. And I think we would have a different, you know, point of view about all this thing. But I think at the same time, the propaganda and our government has been saying for so long that he's a terrorist, it's terrible, he killed an American. Nothing of that was proved anyway, you know. And Omar Khadr has been saying all along that he never did it. And let's not forget that when these things happened, he was 15 years old. He was a kid. You know, and a kid is not responsible for his action, even though he said that he never did it. And that's the bottom line, you know. And even if he did it, he would have been a child soldier. And a child soldier, according to the United Nations, and according to the protocol that even Canada signed, a child soldier needs to be rehabilitated and not put in jail with a lot of other prisoners.
What reaction have you had from people who actually do go and see the film and move beyond their image of who Omar Khadr is and actually see the images?
It's been incredible. It's been such a beautiful journey for us. The reaction, and it's been all over. And the reaction is, what can I do? I never knew. I didn't know what was going on. And I want to do something. I need to do something. What can I do? And a lot of people said also, we came here with a huge prejudice against Omar Khadr. And after seeing this, after listening to, you know, to whatever all these people had to say. And after watching the interrogation, we come out in with a very, very different state of mind. And you open up, you know, something for us, and thank you very much. And for us, it's very rewarding. And we had the same thing today in Holland. We had a screening with 50 judges from the Court of Appeals in Holland, from all over Holland. And it's the same thing. They didn't know the Omar Khadr story, but their reaction was unbelievable. We spoke for more than 2 hours after the film, doing question and answer. And Omar Khadr's lawyer, Danny Sedney, was also here. He's also with us in Amsterdam for this big festival. And it's the same thing. You know, the reaction is, oh, this is such an injustice. You know, you can't do this to a kid. You can't treat a kid that way. That's for sure.
Having spent the amount of time that you have watching him, what do you make of his confession after his plea bargain earlier this month?
Well, like you said, it's a plea bargain. It's terrible. It's embarrassing for the justice, but that's what it is. And I remember I was with Omar Khadr's lawyer in Montreal in October when we launched the film the first time, you know, the premiere of the film. And Dennis was on his way to Guantanamo for the beginning of the sentencing. And while he was in Montreal, he was negotiating already with the Canadian and the American government. And he says, listen, I'm going to have to go back to Guantanamo and ask Omar to lie. Because right now, you know, from the beginning of the military commission in August, it was obvious since the judge of the commission decided that all the testimonies that he made under torture all this time would be acceptable in the military commission. So at that point, it was clear that he would be condemned because you would say anything under torture. And so from that point on, it was obvious that he would be condemned, and condemned would be like 40 years in jail or life in prison. And so Dennis negotiated a deal with the Americans and with the Canadian governments that he would spend a year in Guantanamo and 7 years in Canada, you know, if he pleaded guilty. And he had to go, and it took him a week to convince Omar Khadr to plead guilty, because he says, why should I plead guilty to someone, to something I didn't do? And he made him understand, you know, that after all of this, you know, that's, if you want to have a life, a normal life one day, you know, that's the only solution at this point. And, you know, the Americans, they needed a scapegoat for everything they've been doing in Afghanistan and this war on terror. And he has been that scapegoat, you know. That's really what it is.
Well, it's been really good talking with you this morning, Luke, and I want to thank both you and Patricio for your work on the film.
Thank you very much.
I've been speaking with Luke Cote, and along with Patricio Enriquez, they made the film You Don't Like the Truth. It launches the Doxa documentary film series in Vancouver on November 30th.